Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening to the GMJB show. This week on the podcast, we talk about Katie Taylor, amazing fight, AJ getting knocked out by Ruiz. We talk the local amateur scene and also Callum Smith at Super Middleweight. Does he beat Canelo? We think so. Okay, well, welcome to the GMJB show, episode number 7. Jacko, how's things, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Good, mate. Excellent. We've had a big week in boxing. But first of all, welcome Shara as well to the show. G'day, mate.
G'day, boys.
How you going?
Good.
Joining us again.
Yes.
Again. For the chat today, we've got the chat. Mate, I don't believe this today we could have brought a guest in. I think the best thing is to talk about what the fuck just happened last weekend with the massive fights.
Crazy weekend.
AJ, Andy Ruiz, give us your rundown. Before you drink that coffee.
Yeah, well, I was about to have a little gulp. Yeah, what a shock.
Mate.
I was at your house and we watched the undercard.
Yeah, that's right. And then, I charge you $30 to come and watch.
Yeah.
Entry fee.
And then I had to go and I missed the AJ, the actual fight, but I watched it back. But I remember just checking my Instagram and I was like, I'll have a quick look. And, mate, and I rung you and Shara, because you never answer your phone, so I had to ring Shara.
I was driving then.
and Shara goes, shut up, don't tell me. And, yeah, unreal.
And then we got home.
I actually couldn't believe it.
Like, and then we got home, and our son Rocco's going, oh, you wait. And he's like, I've got so much power over you right now, Dad. I could tell you who won. And Gareth's going, shut up, Rocco, shut up. Wasn't it?
Clean your room.
Yeah, it was a bit like that.
Nah, what a shock.
But, mate, look, at the end of the day, I saw Andy Ruiz when he fought Joseph Parker.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I thought Andy Ruiz was very, very unlucky not to beat Joseph Parker. I actually thought he beat Joseph Parker that night.
I thought he did too.
So I don't believe he should have won less loss on his record anyway.
Well, that's in the past now, though, because he's just beaten someone massive.
Everything's timing too.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's like he kind of had to lose that to get this eventual title shot. And then Miller pulled out he got pulled out because he failed the drug test.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And everything happens for a reason sometimes, and it was just meant to be.
Let's talk about AJ and this, you know, everybody's a social media legend at the moment. Oh, I told you, AJ was a bum. Well, it's not right. He's actually the Olympic gold medalist. He's undefeated. He had 3 belts and he got beaten. Just like anybody, four belts. Just like any other great in history. Muhammad Ali, Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson. Mm. We could go on forever. They've all been beaten. Manny Pacquiao got knocked out in his 12th fight.
Yeah.
Manny Pacquiao got knocked out in his 12th fight. Still went on to win major, major titles and be the, you know, one of the richest men in the sport. So it's a speed bump in the road. But Ruiz, what people don't realize, he was a live opponent and always was. He was a harder fight than Gerald Baby Miller.
I was doing some research last night and, like, we always knew he was a good boxer. I didn't think personally he'd beat Anthony Joshua just because of his, just like the names on Joshua's record, the experience, the travel he's done as an amateur. And, like, Ruiz got overlooked. He had, like, 105 amateur fights or something with over 100 wins. That's ridiculous.
So they say,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think, too, when you say, you know, AJ got beaten by one, there's so much pressure out there now with social media that it tends to be in our face a little bit more when someone does lose.
Yeah.
So there's more pressure on the bloke that does lose in such massive fights. And you just can't change that. That's, you know, the kids of today with the social media, it's huge.
Yeah, and then you're in such a vulnerable position putting yourself in on that spectrum. Like, I rung you after it, and I said, I actually get, like, you don't get scared of getting knocked out, like, that happens, right? But it's just on that scale with so many people watching and, like, maybe the embarrassment you'd feel. And like, I know even if I got knocked out locally, I'd feel like absolute shit.
Yeah, and it's always there. Like it's always on social media. Someone can go, "Oh, did you see this?" And then they'll go back and look at it. Whereas back in the day of Tyson and people like that, we still had video recorders, so we had to go buy it to actually see the knockout again. You know, it just wasn't available.
I did get asked a question, like, because we put our questions out on social media every week, and had someone ask if you know, since that Floyd era, we've seen, you know, how he's had the zero on his record. Yep. And that's been such a big thing for people, protecting their records and not fighting the best, maybe.
Yeah.
Not that Floyd did, but do you think that the age where having an O on your record matters, like, is a big thing anymore? Do you think people can have losses and come back now? Or do you think once you lose in the pros now, it's kind of over for you?
The thing is, too many people set their goals too high too early. Yes, you want to, like, everybody says they want to be world champion, right?
Yeah.
Do they really? When they realize how much work and discipline and dedication it takes to become the world champion, do they really want to do it? You know what I mean? That's a question I ask. Some people are scared of actually achieving what they want or they think they want to achieve because it's fucking hard.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's in every sport. Like, you set your goal, so, oh, yeah, want to be the world champion. Of course you do. You want the fame, the money, the glory. Do you actually want to do the work that it takes? Because anybody can do it. Everybody's got two arms and two legs.
Mm.
If you discipline yourself enough, invest in yourself to become a world champion or the greatest in any sport, you fucking won't take no for an answer.
Even if you lose, yeah.
Even if you lose. I just say, another thing I say is, like, I'll talk even a different sport, rugby league, right? Good on you, Queensland. Anyway, last night, well done.
Nice win.
Fuck the Blues. So, just talk rugby league. I, again, working with these kids that I do at the schools, they say, oh, everyone wants to be a net player NRL. I said, okay. So is your left side pass as good as your right side pass? Oh, no, I can pass one side better. Well, did you get up this morning and practice your left side pass or your right side pass? No. Well, you're holding yourself back from actually achieving that goal. And if you really wanted to do it, you'd pass left, you'd pass right, you'd kick left, you'd kick right, you'd tackle right shoulder, you'd tackle left shoulder, you'd do everything, and you'd be studying on YouTube constantly and watching IFL TV, if you're in boxing, like we do all the time, just into it. I believe to be great, you've got to be obsessed. AJ's great, and he's obsessed. I think he'll come back against Andy Ruiz and do very similar to what Lennox Lewis did against Haseem Rahman.
So I'm not well into the pro scene, but as an outsider looking in, I see that there's two roads. There's that road where you just fight anyone that's the best and not worry about a record and hope you get the win, or you have that padded record and then fight the best and then you really find out where you belong.
It's kind of like in the deep water then.
Yeah. Or do you dip your toe in along the way? And
I think that's probably the best way to go, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really know much about the pros either, like, apart from
everything. Well, you I've do, watched. Really. But
yeah, but, not,
yeah, but,
not,
but the management not side
the,
of it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, the business. Promotion, and,
yeah, the business side of it. But I think I do think that age of having an O on your record doesn't matter as much now. Like, I think with, like, the things like the Super Series, and we see people, well, five or six of them have to lose, don't they? And there's only one winner. With tournaments like that, and I think, like, even in the welterweight division, we're seeing, like, Danny Garcia fight Keith Thurman, and then Keith Thurman's going to fight Pacquiao, and, like, all those boys have taken a loss.
Is that talking they're fighting each other more because it's the money, the dollar side
Or,
is it to move forward and get the better fights?
I think there's got to be a right time to pull the trigger and when to step up. Like Jeff Horn's done the way, and all along Glenn Rushton said, we want to get to the top as quick as we can.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing about Jeff, very strong and has some awkward tendencies when he boxes, and he's really hard for anybody that spars him or boxes him. He's really awkward and really, really strong, especially for a welterweight. So they took that gamble early on when everybody thought they were a bit mad jumping at the bigger fights early. They
having
thought
the abilities bit, probably.
That's right. Again, well. An Olympian.
Yeah.
Jeff Horn's an Olympian. He's done his trade. He's done his time.
Yeah.
I think at this top level, to hold on to the top level, you've got to be able to box. You've got to be a solid amateur. You've got to be able to box. You've got to be able to punch. And you've got to have fighting here. You know what I liked what Todd Kidd said last week? He said it was excellent, that little phrase that he said, in the amateurs, skill beats will. In the pros, will beats skill. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Is that just purely because of the longer round?
Yeah, probably. Well, the scoring's slightly different. You know, you might land 10 jabs in the amateurs and that will really score. Well, 10 jabs versus one solid power shot in the pros, you might lose that round. So even though the scoring's a lot closer, it's, you know, like it's still two different sports. Saying that, the O's on the record, I don't think it's relevant, but you have to beat people to get up in the rankings. You have to be managed right. So you're boxing against people that are higher than you to keep your record going up. Otherwise, if you keep losing early, if you lose 5-6 early, you're pretty much done.
Yeah.
You know, saying that, Bernard Hopkins lost his first fight. Paul Briggs lost his first fight, fought for the Cruiserweight Championship of the World against Thomas Adamek.
Did you watch that? I think it was called Losers on Netflix.
That was brilliant. Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
Michael Bennett. Was it?
Yeah. He came out and said, spoke about his amateur career and obviously he had problems with his father or something. And then he spoke about, I had my pro debut and got, I think he got stopped or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then he came back and actually beat, it wasn't Tyson, it was one of the big ones.
Yeah, I remember.
And then he went out.
Who was the guy? He was in the Rocky movie. Tommy Gunn or Tommy.
Yeah, what's his name?
Tommy Morrison. Did he beat Tommy Morrison?
And then he went to...
Rest in peace, Tommy.
Yeah, and then he was supposed to fight again. And he got, knocked out or he got stopped.
Yeah, he got stopped in the next one. And then he was done.
Yeah, there's a good story. His old man pushed him to the hilt to be a boxer.
Having that courage to keep going after losing your first boxer. As we spoke about the embarrassment and stuff.
And it happens so many times. Look, if you lose your first couple of professional fights, you can keep going. Look at Tevin Farmer.
Oh, yeah. Unreal.
You know what I mean? He kept going. Look at Brad Hall, one of our guys that we're going to have on in a few weeks. This is the amateur world. He lost his first 9 fights. Mm. You know what? Most kids couldn't handle that. They'd probably quit because they feel like a loser. You've just got to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to believe in yourself and the team around you. You have a good manager and a good coach and a really good team that are faithful. You can get to wherever you want to go. You've got to have constant meetings. What's going on? Know where you're going.
Yep. Well, that's I put the post up on Facebook about on Instagram about having the right team around you once you've fallen, and I think that you've touched on a really good point there, where you know it takes a lot to get back up, but if you've got a good team around you, getting back up makes it just that little bit easier than sitting in a room by yourself just trying to pull yourself out of that loss.
Did you ever watch the Conor McGregor Notorious?
Yes. Yeah, great documentary.
When I was watching that, I think he beat the first time he beat Chad Mendes, which was like the big, big fight for him at the time, because Jose Aldo pulled out with an injury, and there would have been like 50 or 60 people crammed in this little space, all like champagne, whiskey, everyone's taking shots. And then I watched it when he lost to Nate Diaz. And there would have been about 10 people in there.
Mate, actually, when
it was his coach.
Yeah.
You know, like when those I people,
saw that, the type
mum, dad. You
know. When I saw that, I turned to him because we watched it together and I said, we know that feeling. Mm-hmm. I can actually relate to that to him right now, that feeling of we put all this work in. And it is a we because we work as a team. It's not just the person. And you just have that sunken heart, and that's what it's about it, and that's what builds the resilience, I guess, you know, after those sort of losses.
Look, we've felt firsthand the highs and lows, especially with Hoops. We go back to, we mentioned him again, when he got knocked out by Rob Powdrill. Holy shit. Honestly, you could hear a pin drop in that room. It was the biggest shock ever in our world. And he had to climb up from that. And then look what he did against Umar Solomov on the Horn Pacquiao show. Turned things around. But again, in that dressing room, there was probably half a dozen people in there. where you've seen Hooper's dressing rooms before sometimes.
Yeah.
40 people in there backslapping, oh, I want to be around you drinking, carrying on this and that. But where are they when your back's against the wall?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think some boxers have got to realize that. Who have been the loyal ones throughout? Yeah, it happens all the time. People change trainers, and I get that. As long as there's a real reason, well, that's fine. But then that loyalty, sometimes you've got there for a reason and you've got there because of the loyalty.
Yeah.
And you can work things out together as you go along. You know, I saw somebody calling for Rob McCracken's head the other day after he
yeah.
That's ridiculous.
What is that all about?
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Lennox Lewis, you want him a favourite? Rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get him to an Olympic gold medal, a unified world champion, and not know anything about pro game, you know?
Yeah.
It's just
But it just seems to be anyone. If they can flag someone off, they will.
Oh,
and that's the thing.
It's just their own insecurities too. Yeah.
And it's their own opinions. And I guess it's just you don't take them on board.
Yeah. Everyone's a journalist nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone's got an opinion now and a platform to express it too.
Yeah, that's right.
I think what you said, Shara, is true. And I watched the interview. AJ's got like his own YouTube channel. He posts his own videos and content through there. And he put up like his rundown of the fight, stayed like so humble, and he didn't have any excuses for the night, because as we said, people are coming out and like bagging his trainer, saying Eddie Hearn shouldn't have fought him because apparently he got concussed in sparring or something.
So the rumors are, whether it's true or not.
And he said, you know what?
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was, he said, I'm staying loyal to my team. It's not their, it's no one's fault, but I made a mistake. We need to reassess and keep going back. And that's like what Shara's saying. Like,
yeah. He spoke about the game plan.
Yeah.
And the game plan wasn't on. Just didn't, I wasn't there.
Or he didn't execute it.
Yeah.
And then there was a, there's people saying, oh, the ref shouldn't have stopped the fight or at that time. And he said, well, I should have done my job.
Yeah.
Just like the ref has to do his job. I shouldn't have got caught and hit. And I just love how he doesn't have any excuses and he just took it like a man. Like,
that's one thing about AJ. Like, you look at anyone else or other people in other sports and they can blame, oh, it was my coach, oh, it was the guy who passed me the footy. It was his fault that I didn't go over the line. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like you're saying, you can't make excuses because the world will just eat you up and spit you out. Yeah. You've got to face your problem.
Yeah, and I did love the fact that he said, I'm staying loyal to the people that got me here. And that's exactly what you said. It's like if I lose, which I've done before, Commonwealth Games trials, a perfect example, there was me, you, Dad, and Brad Hall come up and said a few words as well. And we all were sat there and we all felt it together.
Yeah.
And that's just that.
And that's it.
That relationship you build with him. I don't think you can get that if you don't stay loyal to people and you don't have that trust.
We've known him since he was a fat little tubby kid, like age of 13. So how do you not,
it's puppy fat,
not feel it?
I grew into my body. Right. No, but and then when we win, it's like the most exciting thing for all of us. It's not just me who feels that.
Yeah,
you know, like we have that ultimate belief in well, obviously everyone, and that's one thing. If you're feeling negative sometimes, I know I've got to be positive with you to build you up, and then your head will flip. You'll go, right, I'm here again. Yeah. Nobody can beat me or whatever it is. Week. Yeah, that's right, yeah. So
all over the shop.
Mate.
But you know what to say, because you've known me since I was a kid.
That's it. And you learn. You, like I said to you yesterday, I said, now I believe, only now, after 20 years in the game of boxing. Fuck me, how old am I? Anyway, after 20 years in the game of boxing, it's now, I said to you on the phone the other day, that it's now that I believe I'm actually getting my point across to people, because I know through experiences of whether it's coaching, boxing, life experiences, that I think I can communicate really good now with people, but you can't do that if you're just starting coaching. You know what I mean? You can't do it. You know what I mean? You think you know.
I couldn't give advice to some kid going
through
something that I've never been through.
You can give certain advice to kids, but the experience advice when you haven't done it, you can't do that. You know what I mean?
Well, that'd be half the job for you guys. It's not even like, you've got to know technically what to do and stuff, but half the job would be like the conversations I bring you guys about is never really about boxing.
Yeah,
it's
always
about some shit that's going on in my life. Yeah. You always know the right things to say.
You've got the perfect life though, haven't you? Aren't you?
Yeah, it's a pretty tough gig being me.
Perfect.
Yeah, you're the one with the silver spoon in your mouth.
Yeah, haven't you got $1 million in your bank? Fucking everything's perfect. Oh,
I'd be flat out scraping $50
a day. I think you just borrowed $100 off Ellie May, didn't you?
Yeah, didn't your sister just buy you coffee?
Yeah, what coffee? She shout lunch today too.
Give me a few.
But that's the real boxing. It starts at the bottom, and if you're not willing to start at the bottom, you'll never get to the top. You've got to go step by step. Again, how do you eat an elephant? One day at a time. You actually get to your goal. So it's just positivity. But let's move on from AJ and Ruiz. Good on you, Andy Ruiz, anyway.
Yeah, fucking I was about great. To say, you've got to give him a thumbs up for that.
Mate, you know what I love? I did a post on social media. Mate, when he said, "Mum, we don't have to struggle anymore," mate, that gave me goosebumps. Because he's fought from the fucking bottom and got it. And everyone looked at his body. Every person that doesn't know boxing looked at his body and went, "He can't win." Well, you know what? If you know boxing, you knew Andy Ruiz was
just stay on this for 1 second. What was the difference? What did Ruiz bring to AJ that no one else has in his last, four fights?
I thought AJ was off. I said to you, watching the ring walk, something's not right.
Do you know Dylan White come out and said that too?
Yeah, did he?
Just didn't look like something was up.
Even the commentators had a little mention about it as well. And when Gareth said it, I said, yeah, you're right. He's not smiling. His whole body language looked very negative.
And then when he got in the ring and he leaned on the corner ropes with his mouth guard hanging out of his mouth. Look, I know it's traits and think people do things. And he's just there and his head looked blank. Yeah. His head looked totally blank before the fight. Like, I don't know if he'd built it up so much.
And like, and obviously it's a bit of a comment. I don't know what it was. Opponent, everything being away, it did all play a part.
Right.
But he is a professional.
So if we look at the mental side, that played a part as we're discussing. But I also look at Ruiz. His hand speed over Joshua was phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think his variation on his jab too. It was slow and then touching.
And he had the movement.
And the head movement.
Yep, he had the movement. And when Joshua was just finding it hard to hit him. And then when Joshua put him down, Ruiz got straight back up. Joshua thought, I'm just going to rush him, which was a massive mistake. Yeah. He should have just stayed composed.
What about when he had his left hand down like this? I'm just thinking, what's going on? His coach is saying to him, get your hands up. Yeah. Get your hands up. I heard him say it like 3 times to him in the corner.
Yeah.
Get your hands up. I don't know. Yeah. I do know fighters go through crazy feelings and everything like that. And it's what he's just human. And you make errors and you make mistakes and you think you've judged the fight and then you get caught. We've all been caught before in sparring or whatever, you know what I mean? Like a bit hard and you get the buzz and you think, geez, I should be beating this guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes the hardest fighters or hardest opponents in life are the people that you are supposed to beat.
Yeah.
Everyone tells you to beat them or you're supposed to win at this event. Hey, we know in football, in any game, any fight, you come unstuck. You can come unstuck very easily. If people are thinking you'd win, and then you start believing that I'll win this guy easy. Holy shit! That is the worst thing that can happen.
Do you think AJ's mind wasn't on that fight, but the next fight,
possibly
the big one?
Well, you got the whole American media was about Wilder.
Yeah,
and every interview he did when he fighting Wilder, why isn't the Wilder fight happening? He's like, well, I've got to get this done before I can make.
There was
that
a lot of
fight.
Pressure there,
and he kept having to explain himself about we've offered this, like. By the end of it, you'd just be over it.
Yeah.
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 Something wasn't right.
Yeah.
His body language didn't say he was 100%. I think
he'll get up this for
will
the
be
rematch. The,
yeah. I think this will be the turning point of his career.
Yep.
He'll step up. You know what I mean? He probably needs to spend a bit of time with people like Lennox Lewis that have come back from a big loss and people like that, you know. Anybody that's come back from adversity, it might even not be in boxing, might be the best people to –
He's got a team around him.
So for the rematch, do you think Ruiz would come back with a different fight plan? Or do you think he...
I think that's his game.
Fundamentally really
well. Yeah. I think...
it'd be Joshua.
What would Joshua change?
Well, Joshua will get up for this. I remember when I was playing football in England, right? There was a guy called Brendan Hill.
How good were you?
No. Oh, I was great.
England.
There was a guy that had played for England and he played top level, a lot higher than me. He was older than me. And he was playing reserve grade at this time. He said, I just can't get up for reserve grade games.
Yeah.
And once you've been at that level, it's really hard of coming.
Yeah.
My example, what I'm trying to say is, for him, everyone says he's supposed to beat Andy Ruiz, last minute replacement, come down. He will get up now because he has a purpose to get up. Joshua, I believe Joshua will be up for this. He'll outbox Ruiz.
What's McCracken's plan? Possibly stop him.
I'm just telling you now. He will outbox Ruiz. He'll tighten up his shoulders. He'll go back to what he did. When he fought Klitschko, he was great.
Yeah.
He'll find that again to beat Ruiz the second time. Well, that's what I believe. Well, that's what the plan is.
He needs to sharpen up those hands.
Faster hands?
No, I don't think he needs faster hands. He is what he is. Why does he need faster hands? He out-jabs most people. He needs to round his shoulders, tighten up here.
Yeah, but that's what you're saying.
He just needs to tighten up his defense. I don't need his punch. His punches don't need to change anything like that. It's here. It's a total mental game now. How he's fought in the last 20 fights would beat Ruiz. Well, probably not last 20 fights, but a lot of his great fights, he will beat Ruiz.
I think another thing too is Wiss is not rushing the stoppage, as you said. You know, he had him hurt, and then he just got caught trying to trade with him, like Amir Khan we've seen.
Caught in that mid range. Why would you want to sit there?
With a guy that's smaller than you.
Yeah. Like,
and I think, well, we'll touch on the undercard in a minute, but the Callum Smith fight was so good. He hurt his opponent just by doing the basics right.
Yes.
And then he went back to just sitting there doing the basic things instead of rushing.
Yeah.
And getting caught up.
Yeah. That's a thinker. You got to think. Yeah.
A stinker.
Should we move on to Callum Smith now?
I actually wanted to touch on the fight of the night. I felt Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor.
Persoon? I got it, mate. Can't remember. Defeat Persoon.
Well, you're onto it.
I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Honestly.
Anyway.
Delphine.
Delphine. Oh, shit. I missed an L. Persoon. Taylor.
I thought it was really good. I honestly, was getting into the fight, and
mate,
I was up off the couch a couple of times, wasn't I, guys?
Mm. I actually thought for going into it, everyone knew who Katie Taylor was. Yeah. No one knew who Delphine was.
Saying that, she had a mammoth record.
She did.
What was it, like 40, 41
crazy. But I think everyone watching the fight was just watching Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
And right, so, oh, okay, we'll give Katie that round. Oh, well, she did that. But Delphine just took it to her she was an animal. She did not stop.
Chara, who won?
Delphine.
I agree.
Yep. Yes. Unfortunately, I don't want to say it.
What I see is a bit different. Look, I feel it was a tight fight. Draw, one round either way. Happy with that. People call it a robbery. It ain't a robbery when it's that close.
So I thought she edged a couple of those.
A robbery is when it's 8-2 and it goes the other way.
It got to about round 8 and I think she won 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And she really brought it home strong. And there was a couple times she wobbled her and just kept
She
punching.
Just looked.
Not technically great at all.
No.
Just worked.
She just looked actually physically stronger than Katie.
What was that Todd Kidd quote?
Skill against will or will against skill.
I think it was just that.
Yeah, I think it was
will.
That too, Jack.
It was will.
Yeah,
it was
definitely.
Will. I say that in the rematch, if they do have a rematch, surely. I believe Katie Taylor does a lot smarter because I don't think the other girl, Persoon, has a plan B where I think Katie boxes this time. Well, when she was boxing, she looked beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, that's what she needs to do, just – throw the hook, throw the right hook, move off, and then hit her again. But the thing is, you can't keep that pace of what Katie does for so many rounds.
Yeah.
You know, that is tough. I remember Damien Hooper saying to me when he used to box amateur, using your footwork in and out, in and out. He said, I can't do that for 3x3 minute rounds against a big German that's trying to pound down on me. I said, yeah, that's fair enough. So imagine Katie trying to do this to Delphine for 10 rounds. Yeah, that's crazy. And look.
Okay, back to Katie Taylor.
I'll give it to Katie. Like, she is the best, one of the best that's in the pro ranks at the moment. But I think trying to box like how she did, she just wasted a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And she, and we were talking through it when we were watching it. Some of her shots, she's just falling in on her chest.
Saying that though, when she fights, that's why we love her.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the only reason I got into it. If she had just boxed and moved for 3 hours, it probably wouldn't have been as exciting.
Boring.
Yeah,
that's
but right. She would have got the win a bit easier, but.
So she'll probably do that this time.
I think so, yeah.
To show that she is a superior.
I don't think you can get rid of that.
But so
if you've got to, you'll want to fight.
And she wants to entertain people.
So if you look at that, look, you've just said, I think she'll win this next time, right? But if you look at it, why not win properly the first time? I know she might have been told to do it that way for entertainment, but where do we go? Is it entertainment or win that first?
She just did what she was in. What we've got to remember is the other girl fought 10 rounds many, many times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Katie's would have fought a handful of 10-round fights. So she did all she did. She'll be smarter this time. That's what I'm saying. I think she'll be smarter this time.
Smarter as in boxing at a different range, as in how? Like, what would you break down?
I think she'll look at the fight, that where was I having success? Where was I getting hit?
So where do you think she was having the success at?
Oh, when she was body jabbing, when she was shooting her good skills up and down. You know, I thought she was good. Look, I love the fight. I love it. You know, there's a reason Nigel Benn is one of my favorite ever fighters. And he wasn't a great boxer, but he was great because I just loved watching him. He brought entertainment, his swing, and you know, that's the excitement. That is what people go to see for. They do not go to see the guy jab and move. How fucking boring is that? You don't want to pay $50 to go and watch that. Yeah. You know what I mean? You want to see entertainment. You want to see people boxing good. Mate, I was going to leave Josh Kelly out of this, but I thought he was so boring and terrible on the weekend. I thought he was terrible. He tried too much to be fancy. Box, the fight was crap. I thought the other guy, the guy Robinson, that was actually a sparring partner of Jeff's. Not sure. Was it for Manny Pacquiao? Possibly, because he's a left-hander.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. I thought he was quite unlucky. I didn't like it. I think he's got to go back to the draw. He's boxing move, and he was showboating too much.
He is someone who does have like great fundamental skills because he's been in that GB program for so long.
He does. I just thought on the weekend he tried to entertain too much. But
it's finding that right balance in the pros, like Shara was saying.
Is it
entertainment or is it
get the win if it's boring, but where's that line? Like I'm not in the pros. I mean, entertainment or possibly lose a bout because you're trying to be tough and be out of your skin and boxing a different way to entertain.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. If you're good, you'll be entertaining anyway.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're good, I don't know.
No, not if you're just jabbing and moving.
Yeah.
I think if you are
going to probably won't win many pro fights then either.
But like, say we take Floyd for an example. Mm. Towards the end, he had brittle hands and was taking fights with solid guys.
Yeah.
So he just boxed and moved. There was no need for him to get caught up in the entertainment part of it because I think his personality sells that entertainment. He sold the tickets, I've done the job. Now I can just box and move.
Yeah.
And then people go, oh, he just runs around.
Yeah.
But that's boxing, mate.
That's part of the skill. You can also win on the front foot as well as the back foot.
Yeah. And he is someone who, if he had to, he would, like Miguel Cotto fight, he was in mid-range half the fight. And people underestimate his full game.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I'm going to call butt on this.
Yeah, go on.
The Floyd you're talking about is the end of his career. He'd already built his name.
Oh, 100%.
He'd built his name. If you go out jabbing and moving and doing not much, you know what I mean, just boxing without trying to put people away and everything like that, no one's going to come and watch you anyway.
Okay, so what happens?
When you're a no-name.
He goes,
so what happens then? Do you, like, if you keep winning doing that, what, they're not going to put you on shows because you're boring?
No, it's not that.
So what happens? Where is it?
We know how the pro game is in Australia. You go on shows if you sell tickets.
No, let's not say Australia. Let's say on the scene, right? Let's say you had a Floyd Mayweather, the later Floyd Mayweather, box how he does in his earlier years, Is he still entertaining? Is he still?
No, people say he would. Well, people would say he's boring.
But if he kept winning, how do they deny him of being on a show if he keeps winning?
He
boxes.
I just
as long
don't,
as he's beating big names, and I think that's personality. What I mean. So.
Yes, you will. You can still win. You can still win. Of course, you can, and you can still get there. But to earn mega money, what's Tyson Fury's biggest asset as an entertainer?
Being
outspoken,
and his mental health.
Well, he's outspoken about everything. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's why he earns the money. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? Deontay Wilder won't have earned as much money, I don't believe, as Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury in their careers. I might be wrong, but I'm guessing because it isn't honest. It isn't until now that Fury and Joshua and now Ruiz, the last few years, that people have really worried about. Who is this Deontay Wilder?
So
do you know what I mean? Because he hasn't been no one outside of America knew him a few years ago.
Yeah.
So let's be honest. You got to talk the shit. Is that what you're saying before pre-fight?
Well, what I'm saying is entertainment, however it comes.
I do think you're right about Floyd. Like, if you look at the Pretty Boy Floyd fights, like when he was with Top Rank as well, he was unreal. Like, super feather, just untouchable, and just came out to.
Did he have the same mouth he does now back then?
I don't think so because he was under – I think he was with Bob Arum.
And they had Golden Boy.
Yeah. And I think they wanted him to be like the good boy. And then he broke away into Money Mayweather and just became –
Then he went fucking ruthless.
And that's when he made
real money.
50 cents. Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying you can't do it if you're just going to box and move and box. I'm not saying you can't do it. Yes, you can get to the top, but you probably won't be as big a star as somebody who's got that extra bit of something. When I say entertainment, it might be somebody putting people away every fight, or it might be like Deontay Wilder did, but it probably hasn't really built him until Tyson Fury started talking.
I think if you don't have that personality, you need to be putting people away.
Could be something to do with what you wear when you walk out to the ring, Jacko.
Maybe. I'd look pretty. I'd look pretty.
Yeah.
Like pretty.
Pink. The pretty boy?
Pretty handsome.
In pink, mate.
Oh. Trent Broadus, where's the pink?
Oh.
Shout out Trent Broadus. Are you fighting soon, Trent? I'm not sure.
Is it this weekend or is it on the July 8th card?
Is he July? Yeah, is it July? Because Aaron Russell stinks.
Rowan Murdoch. Aaron Russell. That's all I can think of at the moment.
Desley's having the first fight. Desley Robinson.
Ben someone. Oh, I forgot his
Kelleher. Last name. Is it? No.
Starts with M.
Yeah, Benny Mahoney. He's new signed to DDP. DDP doing good things. And Steve Wojanko.
Yep.
So Steve Wojanko, sorry.
While we're on the local scene, we went out to Benny Harrington's show.
Yeah. All-Star Boxing, All-Star it was a good show.
But Benny, it's well organized and ran smoothly.
Yeah,
it was good. I liked it. He had some ring entrance music. He had the screens. I'm putting a bit
I
of extra.
I liked the setup, even the warm up area.
Yeah, separate. It gave them a bit of sense.
That was a nice school too.
Yeah, it was a good school.
They got Bray Park.
Yeah.
No, it was good. So the local that's the local amateur scene. Obviously, there's a lot of good kids going around. Kids, I call them all kids because they're all younger than me. Unfortunately. And if you're not, quit. If you're not younger than me, quit. You're too old. But yeah, there's a lot of good kids around. Liam Pope. He's boxing well. He had a bit of a few years off a few years ago.
Yeah.
He's doing real good things.
Won the Australian title last year too.
Yeah.
So shout out to Liam. He's doing good things. Yeah.
And this weekend, we've got boxing shop show on.
Yeah, we got a show
on video. You can see the poster behind you.
Pretty in pink boy at the back there is
this bloke here.
I think they called up a model to do the poster this week.
I actually took it into one of the shops and they refused to put it up. So that bloke's too
ugly.
I'm
not happy about them riding over my face.
There's a reason this riding over your melon. Anyway, I will leave that alone.
So that's on this weekend at Salisbury Primary. We've got a few people coming. We've actually got New Caledonia over here.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So they'll be having a couple of their.
And so we've got quite a few travelling teams. We've got McDaley's team from Gladstone. Yep. They're coming down.
We've got a couple from Warwick.
Warwick, New Toowoomba. Caledonia.
They've come, far and wide.
The
Shotgun will be bringing a team. Yeah. Shannon O'Connell and Ozan Craddock will be bringing their team. They've got some few fighters. People from all over Queensland will be coming. So come in. If you want to come and support, starts at midday. How about me on the sales pitch?
Yeah.
starts at midday. Come and support, guys. It's a fundraiser. Yeah, we'll have a bit of fun. Starts at midday, Salisbury Primary School.
Come and buy a sausage.
Come and buy a sausage.
Not cooked by you, mate.
I
would not eat.
I don't know if
anything you cook.
I might get Jono out there on the.
For sure. Jono and Freddie. Jono and Freddie,
I love it. Yeah, they'll just be. Give him a couple of beers, he'll be right.
All right. So we've got Australian titles coming up in 2 weeks. So we're looking at three of our, the boxing shop, people going down, which is you, Jack.
Yeah, me, Lachlan Underwood,
and Kendall Burns.
How about Lachlan Underwood? We had the State of Origin Challenge last night. He was in the fucking Blues team. Lachlan, because, you know.
I heard that wasn't by choice.
Is a New South Wales.
He wanted to be in the Marines. Good boy. Mate, he told me that on the track this morning.
Does he want to be in the Marines?
What's going on there?
At 5:30. What was track this morning? We did 12 200s. It wasn't too bad. It was pretty good, actually.
Walk back recovery.
There was some of the runners on the track this morning, just laughing. Unreal.
Actually, yeah, you know, unreal. I was there 1 week.
They would have heard me coming.
With, I think, Mick Black. He was before his last pro fight, Mick Black. And he was doing the 12 200s. And the sprint coach that's there, the old bloke, walks over and he goes, "That bloke's in the wrong sport."
Oh, really?
Because that bloke should be a sprinter.
Should be a model.
and Mick's
like, "Oh, I don't know about model, Mickey."
Mickey Black's like, "Oh, yeah.
I could do this. I'm too good.
They hear me coming.
From the
elephant.
500 metres away. Yeah, the big elephant.
Mate, I'd like to go back to Callum Smith. Yeah. I know one of your favourite fighters.
At the moment, I don't think anyone can beat him at super middle. I think they're talking about a Canelo matchup.
He beats Canelo at super middle.
I honestly think he'll move up to light heavy after the Canelo fight.
Yeah?
Yep.
What?
Is he about 6'3 or something?
Is he?
He's huge.
I said to you when we're watching the fight.
Go light heavyweight, Callum Smith, because when I turn pro,
I don't want any of that.
Hopefully, a little bit. He's 29 now, so you can call him out for 4 years, then he'll retire.
I'll build my name up a little bit.
Bit of entertainment, please.
Just fundamentally, he is so good and so switched on up here. And I think that comes with age.
I didn't know he was that old.
I didn't know he was 29.
Well, you're saying not that that's old. Fundamentally, right? I think, and you'd probably agree as being a good coach, is if you've got really good basics, you can win at any level.
Yeah.
Because really, when we look at boxing, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just straightforward. It's hit and not be hit.
We spoke to Toddy just briefly before the podcast last week, and that's one thing he touched on. He said it's all well and good to have your hands down and have the flair, but if that all goes wrong for you and you can't
basic jab and move,
it's going to be
a tough night. When you're hurt or you're tired, you've got to go back to what you know. And if what you know is good basics, you'll be okay, or you'll be more better chance. But if you're hurt and you don't have good basics and you're going back to head thrashing around, oh, you're going to get clipped again. And that is Callum Smith all over. Mate, when he fought in a dam and he dropped him three times in three rounds, mate, that foot, was it a left hook the first one? I think it was a left hook that first dropped Nadam.
It was that, like a check.
Boom. Yeah, bam. Got him down. And I remember saying to you, he just needs to now just do what he's doing. The minutes, what people do, sometimes make an error.
I think the round ended straight after that.
Yeah, that's right. What some people do when they hurt somebody, they're going to try and wait. Yeah. Well, mate, wounded lion can throw anything. They're going to throw. They're going to be desperate. Mm. Go back to one of my favorite ever fights, Nigel Benn, Gerald McClellan. Holy, Nigel Benn was out. Wounded lion. Bam, start clipping. You know what I mean? They were just throwing at each other.
So it's free that, play at the gym. It's that mate. Whole, you know, like keep the emotions in check, you're saying. You think you've got someone, but Callum sat there and went, you know what? I'm going to be cool, calm and collective.
So composed.
And take this guy out smartly and look so clear as day and just so clean that no one can deny him, you know?
I just think if you've dropped somebody so early doing the right thing with 9 rounds to go, you can continue doing the right thing and it'll happen
it
again.
It was the exact same punch, did. Like the next round, and then
in the right hand card.
Okay, so how many times do you do a check left hook? It's basic, isn't it? Yeah. But it works.
Yeah, that's especially in those small pro gloves and doing the right things.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got a good stable there too, Joe. Oh, is it Joe?
Gallagher. Is it Joe? Yeah. Gallagher.
It's Gallagher. Well, it's not Liam, is it?
He wishes it was Liam.
I love Liam Gallagher.
Oh, here we go. I'm stuck between two Whoppers.
Yeah, but like he's got a good stable there. He's got Crawler, all the Smith boys.
And yeah.
I think there's a few others. I can't name them. Really, Scott Quigg was there.
Yeah, it seems like a really good culture. Like, hopefully, well, what I think we're starting to grow, we're not just starting to grow, it's been going for quite a few years now, but we've got a good mix of guys that just there for each other, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, we saw Collar in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, what about, I liked this morning when you guys normally do track at 6 o'clock and Lockie said, I've got to be there at 5:30. Well, you guys just turned up at 5:30 in the morning. To be there with him because he couldn't make 6 o'clock. And that's what I'd say the Gallagher's gym are like. They go, right, let's just make this work for each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, we've done that before too. Like one of the other boys down the gym, Dinesh. Dinesh's starts work at like 7 o'clock. Yeah, yeah. So he had to start
earlier
at 6.
Yeah.
So everyone comes at 6. It's a culture thing.
I said to the kids yesterday after I finished their session, I said, we've got a couple of kids that are having their first fights at our show on the weekend. And I said, we've all been there. We all know what first fight nerves do, second fight, third fight nerves. I said, if you see one of those mates of yours in your same stable and they're sort of like losing it, you've got to go over and say it's going to be all right. And I think it's important you build that culture. Because everyone's always, you've had your first fight. You know what it feels like. And I see you many times, like even last week and at Benny's, you drove up with yourself, Kian.
Kendall
came up to support. And it's because you've all been there and you understand what it takes to get there. And it's just good knowing you've got that support. Like, again, when all else fails, you've got a good team around you, you know.
And those kids need that. Not a role model, but just someone. I remember I even spoke to Keane about it. Keane was one of our boxers. He was like a really good boxer when I first started. And I remember when boys like that used to come watch your fight, you'd find that extra bit. Or if you felt nervous, you could be like, oh, what do I need to do?
What about
they come and talk to you?
The time you came and supported and you actually had to go on the corner with me.
Oh, yeah, that was right.
That's scary. Gareth
Williams.
Jacko's got 100% record in the corner for a loss.
Yeah, one of our young
can't do it without fellas, the white axe, mate.
Yeah, one of our young fellas. Well, I reckon that was the most nervous I've been walking into a ring. So, what do I do here, Shara?
Which hand do I hold the towel in?
Shara's probably more worried about me messing up.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, it doesn't.
All I had to do is give him water, but
actually, doesn't go close to the time you nearly bit my finger off.
Yeah, well,
in the corner,
you probably deserve that.
Yeah,
but so I think we're agreeing. At Callum Smith. I'm going to go back to Callum Smith. Does everything right, got a great team around him. It's not just the boys at the gym, it's the coach, the manager, obviously the promoter. The team's so important. When you step out into a new team, a total new team, that's got to take you quite a while to get used to, those things. So people always think grass is greener on the other side, but sometimes there's a reason you got there, you know what I mean? There's a reason you got there. And if you look in the mirror and say, I did everything perfectly and everything is right around me, well, then you have a right to question your coaching team and that sort of stuff.
You ever heard of J. Cole, the rapper?
No.
Ryan sent me one of his quotes. Ryan Endahipa sent me one of his quotes the other day. It said, grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Just dropping some knowledge for
so
you guys.
So to reiterate on that, yes, it's just looking at, like, going back to AJ, looking at himself.
Yeah.
Instead 100%. Of trying to blame someone else or something or circumstances, to turn around and be the bigger person, say, you know what, fucked up.
Yeah.
I've got to go back to the drawing board with my team.
How many times have we been on a trip, Shara, and you know when your home coach isn't there and you lose and someone goes, oh, well, it must be my coach's fault. Yeah. My coach isn't here and and my coach said I had to do this, or my coach has rung me and said I did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Ooh, you probably did.
Mm. I think when it comes to when you go away and you got a different coach, I think it's not about your home coach when you're away. It's about you going, well, what do I need to do to beat this guy, looking at what's in front of you. Yeah. Your home coach gives you that support from over here to over there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, oh, look, it's a cultural thing. And, you know, here we try to build a really good culture, don't we, and encouraging
people. Because I came from, like, it was gymnastics and then it was rugby league, then it was boxing. Since day one in the boxing gym, me and Chris McCullen actually went to Woodridge PCYC and we actually started boxing together. The plan that we did, and then when I opened my new gym, was to bring that football camaraderie into boxing, which I thought it was missing. And you know what? If you're meeting your mates, if you're doing it for your mates and you're having a laugh and you're enjoying and you're pushing each other together at training, well, then there's reasons you want to do it other than just your own selfish reasons. You know what I mean? Like you're there for your mates. You're there for everything. And that's all I've wanted to do is build that football camaraderie in the boxing gym.
Yes, football, but I think it's just good people.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a good energy.
Like if you put out bad energy, well, it's going to come back tenfold. And well, I think it's all different personalities we have within the gym that makes it a good culture. And it's our own culture. It's not a football culture. It's not a baseball culture. It's our own boxing culture within our club that makes us who we are. And, you know, if we have people that need to understand, you know, a high pressure fight and we can't explain it as coach, well, go talk to Jack. He's been there. You know, it's about being able to pass that knowledge on and speak out about your feelings.
Yep. Oh, well, it's a safe place here.
Yeah.
So I have no dramas coming up to one of you two and being like, hey, this is going on in my life. What do I need to do? Or can you give me any advice? And I just move forward. Some not dramas, but like wanted to pursue another career and do something else outside of what I was doing. I'm Gareth here. Mm. I can help you with this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And then we just move forward.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think, as you said, like people coming to watch you, and I had this conversation with you earlier in the year about, because Mick, one of our pros, comes and watches the amateurs, and I don't hesitate buying a ticket to come and watch me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he comes and watches. He comes and watches the boys. Yeah. We've had people here in the gym before that have, I've bought tickets to, and like it is, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like
that's right, yeah.
50, 60 bucks to come and pay. Yeah.
Especially
and
when you're not working.
I've fought 10, 15 times this year and you haven't come and watched me once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would I pay money to
come
and
watch
you?
Yeah, that's exactly that's right. That's
so it works both ways, but I think that culture is different now. And not that it was ever bad, but like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
A couple individuals.
It always keeps developing. Yeah. It always keeps developing all the time.
Would you have had to have borrowed that $50 or $60 off Ellie Mae?
No, not back then. I've been buying Ellie Mae stuff for years, Ellie Mae.
Look at her, she's joined us today. Yeah. Jacko, let's open it up to questions. Okay, what questions have we been hit with? Have we answered any?
Yeah, we've pretty much covered everything. I did get asked, though, like a perfect age to – not perfect, but what – when do you think the right age is to turn professional?
Yeah, I was asked a similar question.
That was probably the only one we haven't covered. Everything else was pretty much about AJ.
Yeah, you know what?
To be fair.
It depends what you want. It's totally got to be about yourself and what it is that you're trying to get out of this professional boxing. Mm. Rowan Murdoch turned pro at 18. Canelo Alvarez turned pro at 16. Vasily Lomachenko, how old is he? 29?
28, 29, yeah.
You know what I mean? There isn't a perfect age. It's how disciplined are you to put it in? Look, no. Yes, you can turn pro. Your sister could turn pro tomorrow. She's of age. She could fight. Never boxed in her life. She could lose.
She'd be the 38-kilo champion.
Yes.
In case anyone wants that.
Yeah, and we could probably put her in street fighting.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
Biting, gouging. Yeah.
So there's
there's you know, anybody can turn professional. I really find this question hard. It depends what success is to you. If you want to be a successful professional, what is success? And everybody has to judge themselves on their actual ability and what they're actually capable of and their age and everything else comes into this. Yes, every boxer turns professional and wants to be the world champion, like we said earlier. Are they willing to live that day and night and go to sleep at 8:30 at night and wake up early and do the, you know what I mean?
I think it is that realization of looking at yourself, because when I was 18,
yeah,
I'm still like growing into a man's body. At 18, I was still a kid.
Mm. Yeah,
and I'd have probably had 40 fights.
Yeah,
and I would have got in there with someone that's just rugged and
that growth took you a month to grow. So you're still.
Let's look at Rowan Murdoch. In one of his early fights, his first four fights, I believe, I can't remember what number fight, he fought a kickboxing guy, Steve Moxham, I believe it was.
That sounds familiar.
Remember when he lost at the Greek Club?
Yeah.
It was a four-rounder. Yeah, Steve Wojcenko fought Kyle Teer that night in around the fight of the year on Fox Sports, I believe. So look, Rowan Murdoch flipped it. He lost that fight, one of his early fights. It hasn't hampered his career, but that if he looked back and you speak to Chris Carden and Rowan, I reckon that was one of the biggest learning curves of his career. Probably jumped into this guy a bit too early, who was a bit more mature. Moxham had many kickboxing fights, or I think he was kickboxing fights. Very strong guy, and he probably just manhandled a little bit too strong for Rowan at the time, because Rowan was 18. Fight, yeah. But yeah, I reckon if you look back through the career of Rowan Murdoch so far to date, obviously he's got bigger things he's going to go for. I reckon that will have been a big learning curve for him, that fight.
Yeah.
About, you know, the difference between being a good junior or a good boy and becoming a good strong man at the professional level. Yeah. It's a different game.
So you're saying with sort of looking at if you're a boy or a man, you've got to evaluate where you're at, what skill set you've got, how much determination, how much you want to sacrifice to actually see if you can make it as a pro.
Yeah.
So depending on the individual.
Yeah, and again, what are your goals? Everybody, like I said, anybody can turn professional. Anybody. We could drag a guy off the street right now, get his blood test done, and he's a professional boxer.
Oh, the amount of people I've had ask me.
Which is terrible.
Oh, you're not a professional yet. Like, as in, it's like an apprenticeship. Well, it is, really, the amateurs.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, as in, I'll make fighting for $500 every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and losing is better than me? I don't think so. But
no, that's right.
It is,
but it is a job once you turn professional, I think. And that's,
Well, elite amateur is a job, but it's an unpaid job.
Yeah.
You know, it's
harder fights than some of the
pros. It is harder fights. You've got hard fights every time.
The best. If you go into a draw,
that's the draw. You're done.
You're done, mate. You've got to face the best. Where, you know, I guess if you do say, you look at Lemachenko and he's had over the 100 amateur fights and he's older.
300, I think, or something
like that. Something crazy.
He's still lost early, though.
So he's a guy that transitioned to the pros well, but then there might be someone that can't transition that well with 100 amateur fights or 50 amateur fights.
He did transition into that. What was the Super Series? It wasn't Super Series or something. WSB.
Oh, WSB.
That's probably a good bridging. Yeah,
so he did like the 6-8 rounders and then he went over.
But yeah.
So, look, again, that question there where what age is it to a good age to turn professional? Everybody's different. Depends what your goals are and are you willing to put the work in.
Yeah.
If you're not strong enough, you probably need a good team around you to say you're not ready at the moment.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And sometimes the coaches, the trainers, the managers, I remember Ricky Hatton one day saying he thought he was ready years before he was to fight for the world title. Frank Warren kept holding him back. But it wasn't until later that he realized that now it's time to go for it and not then. Yeah. All right. Well done, guys. We'll wrap it up for the week.
Thanks.
Okay.
Excellent.
Next week, we've got the guru in, Kurt Vogel, sports scientist extraordinaire. You want to learn about strength and conditioning, reasons why they do things?
You want to know Kurt, why I'm so strong?
Oh.
The goo. All right, guys. Thanks very much. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning into the G&JB show. Make sure you listen every week. Please share on social media. Let's get the word around. It's a bit of fun. If you know anybody who wants to be on the show, send us the details.